Praise Jesus. Now look at that person beside you and say, you know, you're blessed. Come on, look at the person beside you and say, you know, you really are blessed. Praise Jesus. I kind of feel like that we ought to take the rest of the night and just pray for me. I don't know what I've done. I've made one of the biggest probably mistakes of my life.
How many are there going?
There's seven ladies and myself going to Guatemala. I don't know what in the world I was thinking. I mean, all of a sudden, fear has gripped me. All I can say is, you ladies better remember, I know the roads and I know where we're going. So, anyway, I'm telling you, man, praise God. So, anyway, before I forget to remind all of y'all, be praying for us because we will be going out Saturday. 3 o'clock, is that right? Something like that. Flying to Guatemala, be down there all week. I'm really excited because they've got the septic system going, and we need to look over the thing and see what's happening. So we've got the original. Actually, we have all of the money for the whole system to go in. We just, at this point, don't exactly know what's going in. But praise God, I like it when we have the cash to do what we need to do. So God has blessed us, and so we're going to get that done. But anyway, we're going to be doing on that. So, but anyway, just y'all just be praying about that. So anyway, let me just get to the word tonight. Before we get going here, Bob, I got a lot of, I don't know what, maybe I'm in the monitors or something. I can't hardly hear myself talk. It's too loud. I'm just really busting. But anyway, go to John chapter 5. Get your Bibles out. And go to John chapter 5, please. There we go. That's better. If y'all can hear me out there, now I can. That's just me up here. Okay. So anyway, I want to share something with y'all. I don't know. I don't exactly remember what I preached last Wednesday night. That's terrible to say that, but I can't find any of my notes or anything. But I do know that I was talking to y'all about being sensitive to how God's leading you and showing you people in life. Because I really believe with all of my heart that God, right now, the phase of life that we're in as a church, I'm not talking about just this church, I'm talking about what I believe God is speaking to the whole church, the body of Christ, is that we have to come to a place in life that we are helping people to grow in Jesus, which is nothing other than what we always have called discipleship. I think I believe that we're coming to a place, you know, even in this world, man, just go read the headlines of the newspaper. That's enough to throw fear into anybody, you know? How much more do we need one another in these days than we've ever needed before? And how much more do we need to grow in our Christian fellowship and our Christian discipleship and helping one another? And a lot of times we get confused about, what does it mean to be a discipler? Literally anything that you know that you have either made a mistake in doing and you learn from that mistake, or however you gained knowledge, if you share that with somebody else, you're being a discipler. You're helping somebody else down the road in life. And it doesn't make any difference what it is. It doesn't always have to be a discipler is not just somebody who's just sharing word with somebody else. You may be teaching somebody how to bake a cake. You're still a discipler. You may be teaching somebody how to operate a piece of equipment, or you may be doing something. That's still the principle of discipleship. You're helping somebody along in life so that they can better themselves, right? So I want to go to this story here in the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 1. It's a story with a man at the pool of Bethesda, and you're probably familiar with it, but I want to look at it tonight. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, this is at Passover. Now, remember, all Jewish males were required to go to the temple three times a year, all right, for Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And so Jerusalem was crowded at this time of year, and there was a lot of people going to the temple and coming back. And so it says that Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. Now, what's interesting, you know, I want to tell you, I've told you all this a million times. I believe everything that the Bible says, okay? But I don't believe every commentary, all right? And I don't believe every historical reference to Bibles and things like that, because I can't trust it, because you get into man's interpretation. When you get into man's interpretation of something, man could be wrong. So I believe the Bible. So when I get into situations like this, like, I really kind of want to know what, I mean, it gives us a definition, I mean, an explanation kind of what the pool looked like, but I want to know more, right, than exactly what the pool of Bethesda is. Well, I can tell you that you can go in and you can find out that over the book of Nehemiah that they did build the pool. And what's really kind of interesting, you can go look at some historical data, they had begun to say that it was not real, that it was just a made-up story that John made up to make a spiritual point, because there really was no pool of Bethesda anywhere in Jerusalem. But now archaeological digs have dug it up, and they actually have found this place that could possibly be the pool of Bethesda. I thought it's funny how everybody's always trying to disprove God, but how God always proves himself right. You know what I mean? So anyway, so it says it had five porches, and there lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, I want to tell you this. If you go back and you look at more history and you study out the word, there's some of the old manuscripts. You got to understand, when they wrote the Bible, they didn't write the Bible off one manuscript. All right? There's thousands. There's literally 5,000 manuscripts that were taken from. And when you go read all those manuscripts and you look at all of them, they may be one word off. And they were all handwritten. It's amazing how much truth there is to what God did to make the Bible. But there's some manuscripts, you know, a smaller percentage of manuscripts, they don't include, I'm just telling you this, I'm going to make a point here, y'all just hold on here. They don't include waiting for the moving of the waters in verse 3. So in other words, it would read, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Okay, then they omit verse 4, all right? And then they pick it up in verse 5. Now, a certain man there who'd laid... Okay, so the point I want you to understand is, what I'm preaching tonight, what I'm showing you about the Word, is I don't care whether you keep it in there or not. It doesn't make me a bit of difference. All right? It doesn't take away with what Jesus is doing and what everything that's taking place here at this moment, right? So I just want to tell you that, because I just wanted y'all to be a little wiser, okay? I don't get scared when somebody starts telling me something about the Bible, oh, this or that or the other. It doesn't scare me, because most people have never really studied out and don't really even understand how much evidence there is that absolutely word for word, the Bible is exactly true. But people who want to disprove the Word and show things that are wrong have a reason always. There's always some kind of an ulterior motive behind what they're trying to do. So, anyway, I want you to get this scene, okay? I just want to paint a picture right now. I want you to get this scene of a pool of water, the pool of Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy or place of mercy. And there's all these sick people there. It says right there, they were blind, they were lame, they were paralyzed. It's got to have been pretty depressing. Are y'all with me? There, you would not think there was a lot of joy around there. Everybody in there sick. Terminally ill in the sense. How does a blind man that's standing there know when the pool of water would be stirred for him to jump in? There you go. And then what did he die for? How did he know if he was in the water, aimed towards the water or not? Just might have jumped, heard the stirring of the water, and jumped and just landed right on a rock. You know, I got into this last week, and I got in trouble. I do remember that now. I do remember. I got in trouble last week, and I'm starting to have that same little feeling here right now. I don't know. Okay, and so my point is, all these people gathered there for something. There was just a lot of sick people, but there was a lot of people that were gathered like this man who had been coming there for 38 years. But he's paralyzed. He can't get in the water. Why did he go there every day for 38 years? But it's hope that's hopeless. He said it out of his own mouth. I got nobody to put me in the water. I mean, he couldn't wake up every morning and say, maybe today's my day. He had no way to get in the water. Somebody just took him down there every day and dropped him off. Came back at 5 and took him home, I guess. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, in that multitude of people that were there, there was great need everywhere. It says blind people, lame people, right? Different diseases. In that great multitude of people, there was all kinds of problems, right? And Jesus walks in. And I'm just reading the text here. It says, I'm picking up verse 5. Now a certain man was there and had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he'd already been in that condition a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? So Jesus must not have been the focal point being in there. There was other times that Jesus walked down the street and the blind, like Bartimaeus, ran after Jesus and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, and caused such a ruckus. Right? There was other times that they heard that Jesus, they brought boats, they came over, everybody heard that Jesus was there, and they were just, you know, frantic to get to him. There was times that Jesus, he had to go get in the boat and push out from land because the people were smothering him. But he's walking in a pool, in a whole area, in a pool of sick people everywhere, and nobody's recognizing him. Think about this. He's healing. He's already healed people. This is not the first days of his ministry and nobody knew who he was. Nobody in that place was looking to Jesus for their answer. They're all sitting there staring at the water to move. I have a little caution saying this tonight, but, you know, it's one of those things. If I'm wrong, it's not going to change your walk with Jesus at all. And if I'm wrong, y'all can get to heaven. You can point at me and say, you were wrong when you preached that message. We saw the DVD in the back, and you were wrong. Okay? And I'm not really going to care. I'm in heaven. Right? I'll just say, take it up with Jesus. I don't really care. But there's something about me when I read this story that it disturbs me. And what disturbs me is I feel like, this is thus saith Robert, because I can't prove this because I wasn't there and I didn't see those people, but I feel like those people had become religious. And what they had done was they began to look to the pool of water rather than looking to God. And I'm not so sure that anybody ever got healed in the pool. My Bible doesn't say anybody ever got healed. And this is where thus saith Robert comes in. I'm not so sure anybody ever got healed in the pool. Maybe somebody at one time fell in the pool and came up and said, oh, I'm healed. And everybody said, the healing waters of the pool of Bethesda, let's go there. You know, they were seeking a sign. They were seeking something. How many times do we have people today? You know, the picture of the Virgin Mary came up in my toast. I mean, there was really one on like that. Did y'all know that? And the way they cooked their toast. You know, it's on the side of the house. It's here. Everybody's seeking signs. Everybody's wanting this. Whoa. Now, I'll tell you this. Angels are real. And the Bible, I can tell you places where the angels ran across the tops of the mulberry trees and moved them. I can tell you that that's real. I really can't find any place in the scripture that an angel ever healed anybody. So what I'm saying to you is I'm just kind of feel strongly that nothing ever happened in the pool of Bethesda. Only somebody got excited one day and said something happened, which caused everybody to gather there. And I'll tell you why, because why would God only be wanting to heal one certain select person who ever got in the pool of water first? That's kind of not, doesn't set well with me. That's not the God I know. The God I know doesn't say, if you can jump over those chairs, then I'll give you. This doesn't sound like my God at all. Are y'all with me? Are you following me here? The point I'm saying is that I think the attitude of all of the people sitting there was pretty religiously rotten and had gotten to the place where they didn't even recognize the Son of God walking right into the midst of them. Except one guy. And I'm telling you, this guy wouldn't have done anything if Jesus wouldn't have addressed him. So what makes him different? See, when I've been teaching y'all on Sunday mornings about learning who Jesus is, this is what I'm talking about. Why that guy? Why him? I want to know why Jesus went to that guy. Obviously, there was a bunch of people. He didn't have a problem saying, oh, that guy's got a blind eye. I don't really feel the blind eye anointing today, you know. And, ooh, that guy, you know, he's needs a leg, and I don't really feel like I got the leg anointing today. Oh, this guy, yeah, this guy, I can see. No. Jesus went to that man for a specific reason. And the only thing I can say about the guy that I can learn from the scriptures here is that, number one, he was faithful. He was there every day for 38 years. That's about as steady as you can get, man. I'm telling you, if we had workers like that today that always showed up for 38 years straight every day, are y'all with me? Number one, he was faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, moreover, it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. He was faithful, okay? Number two that I can say about this guy is he had to have something inside of him, like hope, it wasn't hope for himself. It had to be hope for somebody else, because he knew he wasn't going to get in the water. He just wanted to go and see somebody else healed. You see what I'm saying? He wanted to go there, and he wanted just to see a miracle and somebody else get blessed and jump up and down and be happy, because he knew it wasn't going to happen to him, because he already said, I ain't never going to get in the water. I got nobody to put me in the water. But he just hoped every day he'd see something. He had that in him, that expectation. Are y'all with me? Of seeing God move. So he was faithful, and he had expectation to see God move. Now, he'd been there for 38 years, right? And Jesus walks in the whole crowd of the people, gets over there beside him and says, you want to be healed? And look what he responds. He doesn't say yes, no, whatever. The sick man said, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool and the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. He doesn't say, oh, more than anything, all I've ever wanted to do is to be healed. Right? He says, nothing really I can do about it, because he's only still looking at the pool. He's not knowing who he's talking to. And I'll tell you the third thing. The sick man answered, okay, number 8, verse 8. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately, when? The man was made well. And he took up his bed and walked. Okay. That day was the Sabbath, and the Jews therefore saw to him who was cured, it's a Sabbath, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, he said, he who made me well said, take up your bed and walk. The third thing the guy was, is obedient. All right? He's faithful, he has expectancy, and he's obedient. Right? I present to you tonight that I believe that when Jesus walked in that crowd of people, because Jesus could always see the hearts of all men, he looked over the whole crowd of people and looked at that one guy and said, that guy has what it needs in his heart to be healed. So he walked through the whole crowd right to that guy and said, rise, take up your bed and walk. In this world that we live in, we're going to run across hundreds of people that are going to be just like the blind people. They're going to need help. They're going to need all kinds of things. Right? They're going to be the blind, the lame, the maimed. They're all going to be like that. But we have to be able to have the heart of Jesus to be able to look and to see who is really sincere. Who's really hungry? Who's really faithful? Who's really obedient? Who's really serious? Are you with me? True discipleship takes you to the person who's really the one who's there that really needs to hear what you got to say. So when we're asking the Lord to help us to make disciples or asking him to show us what we're supposed to do, the first thing we should be praying is, Lord, who? Because just because they're a human being, breathing, living, and in need doesn't necessarily mean they're going to receive anything. And you know what? Jesus healed one man at that pool. There's other stories where it says, in a multitude came to Jesus and he healed them all. So is Jesus just ugly? Is he just a mean God? He didn't do it? No. Every person that came to him expecting, but those people were still looking at the water. And folks, we've got to quit looking at the water in life. We've got to quit looking at the thing that we're looking for, the sign or whatever. And we've got to start listening to the heart of God. And saying, what are you doing, Lord? What's really going on here? What do you want done? Not what our eyes see or what we think or what looks like a good program to us or looks like what somebody needs. And I need to go tell them because they get really can. They may not receive anything you got to say. But in reading that scripture, I can tell you that old boy was faithful. He had an expectation and the guy was obedient. Faithfulness and obedience are one of the two most key ingredients to your walk with Jesus. And he had them. And then he was also, I guess you could say something else, he was bold. Because when the Pharisee says, hey, what are you doing carrying your couch? He says, man, I don't care what you say, man. I'm carrying my couch. He said, carry my couch, I'm carrying my couch. Well, that's pretty bold, standing up to the religious devils of that day. Now, one more thing. The religious crowd of the day was mad at the man for carrying his bed. You think about how crazy that is. How much crazier can things get? Things can get crazier. When people who are supposed to be doing good get mad at somebody when they get healed because they're not doing it the right way, something's wrong. To study this out a little bit more, I don't want to get into it tonight, but if you go over to verse 10, when it says, the Jews therefore said to him, he who is cured, it's the Sabbath, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. There was nothing in the Old Testament about that. That was nothing in the Old Testament. There was nothing in the Torah about that. What God said is don't work on the Sabbath. And they had taken that scripture of not working on the Sabbath and taken it down to, well, what's work? And then they had debated it back and forth. And they wrote it in what they called the Talmud, which was their interpretation of what the Torah said. Again, man interpreting something, not coming straight from the scripture. Well, what is work? Well, if you carried your bed, that would be work. And so you can't carry your bed. That is their law that they wrote in. It wasn't God's law. Jesus wouldn't do anything to break God's law. Right? It was man's law. And man's law got so mad about what was going on. And so what do we have in happen today? The same type thing. We got churches arguing over things that the Bible clearly says don't do it. But because we want to interpret it and we want to have our own Talmud, if you would say, which was their writings, and make up our own rules and regulations and our interpretations of what the Word says. You can really get in trouble. Listen to me, church. You can get in real trouble the moment that man starts interpreting the Bible for you. The Bible has to interpret the Bible. Don't ever forget that. The Bible says let every word be confirmed in by two or three witnesses. In other words, man, don't take a doctrine just because it's somebody, some preacher saying something. You got to see it in the Word, and it needs to be confirmed in two or three places. It can't just be one, you know, select scripture somewhere. And what's going to happen in these last days is that the more and more we get towards the end times, the more and more you're going to see crazy things come up like this. And I just would want to be there and just walk up and tap him on the shoulder and say, the guy's been paralyzed for 38 years and he's walking and you're talking about, what's the matter with you people? You know, I mean, I just blows my mind. All right. And then what also I think is interesting about this is it doesn't say that a riot started and everybody ran to Jesus. They were all still looking at the water. What's going on over there? Oh, I don't know. Henry's walking off over there. I don't know, but watch the water. Don't worry. Just keep your eyes on the water. That angel might move in a minute. Right? Isn't that what he was doing? I mean, we're just that crazy. We stand right there and stare at the water and saying, well, I can't quit. I got to look at this. Don't. No, I can't. No. And then I'm kind of shocked, and I don't know if the next day he went back. It doesn't tell us. You know? I mean, wouldn't you have gone back? You've been at the pool every day for 38 years. Wouldn't you just thought that's what your routine was? You woke up every morning, just go back to the pool? I would have been at the pool saying, his name is Jesus. Go find him. He's down the road. Right? And he might. We might get to heaven and see the DVD of the whole thing and read the whole history about it and find out he did. And, you know, this guy that was lame may have got 5 million people saved. I don't know. You know what I mean? We don't know. We always read into those things, but we're only getting this tiny little bitty glimpse. Who's to know what would have gone on? Yeah. Verse 15. Then he departed and told the Jews that Jesus made him well. So how do we know what that went? He may have started a whole ministry out of that. He may have gone everywhere in churches all over the place carrying his bed. I like some translations. You know how like sometimes you read like the Message Bible, Amplified Bible, and they translate it, and it's really a lot better. What's funny to me is when I read some, they said that it was this couch. And immediately when I read the word couch, you know, I'm thinking couch, like, carries his couch out, you know. Doesn't quite compute in the same. I think that was kind of a bad interpretation. But took his bedroll, took his sleeping bag, everywhere he went, said, hey, look what Jesus did. We don't know. But all I know is I don't want to be the man who stands looking at the water when Jesus is over on the side doing miracles. Right? And I also want to be like Jesus in the sense that I want to have the ability to see whose heart's really going to receive. right? To say, hey, this is where we need to go, or that's where we need to go, or this is what we need to do. Because there's going to be a lot of blind, a lot of lame, a lot of people that, you know, need help, won't ever receive it. Amen? Amen. So look at the person beside you and say, hey, don't stare at the water too much. Palate. See, that puts another wrong vision in your mind. Carrying a pallet down the road. Yeah, you'd want to be comfortable. So maybe it's a big old Chase Lounger or something like that, you know, on wheels. That's probably why he said that he didn't have anybody to bring him down to the pool and put him in the pool, because everybody was mad at him from having to get his old couch down there every day. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's take up our offering tonight.